Good afternoon, Hunterdon County. It's Bill Wolfson. I'm here all by my lonesome. I'm just the only sports guy, the lone sports guy today. So we're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff. Who'da thunk it? The Yankees are in last place. The Phillies are in second, a game and a half out behind the Washington Nationals. Why are the Phillies playing so well? Well, good management by their manager McCacken, some decent pitching, and they've gotten them playing the small ball. They are hitting. They are fielding well. They're winning an awful lot of one-run games, and they're getting some relief pitching and some decent starting pitching. Suddenly, the Philadelphia Phillies have become an interesting team to watch. And how about those Flyers? They managed to get through the season and into the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time and in a while, in a year or two. And they're playing well, and, you know, big shakeup at the Eagles. Meanwhile, the Sixers announced a new coach, Hendricks, and also they ended up with the number one draft pick. So we'll see what comes out of Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Yankees have woken up in May, and they are now just one game out of the cellar and 4 points out of a wild card spot. It's going to be a long season. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Orioles are leading the pack in the American League East, and the Red Sox just behind them. The dog with the worst view on the dog sled right now are the Yankees, but let's see if that turns around as the weather warms up. So will the bats, and the Yankees have some tremendous relief pitching. I watched Arnaldus Chapman a couple of times already. If I get to watch the game on TV late, this guy throws a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, and the rest of his stuff is pretty good, too. It's a tough thing to hit him, and he's intimidating how fast he throws. You can just see it in a lot of the batters' eyes. So we've got some interesting baseball coming up. Meanwhile, the Stanley Cup playoffs are grinding along. We have the San Jose Sharks up on the St. Louis Blues, 2-1. We have the Pens playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Tampa's up 2-1, and they're playing in Tampa tonight. I think Pittsburgh's going to steal a game there. Ben Bishop, the Tampa Bay Lightning goaltender, is not well. He's not expected to play, so we'll see who Tampa puts out in the net. Meanwhile, we're seeing a real revamping with the Philadelphia Eagles with Pettersson, who seems to be getting a good handle on the squelching a quarterback controversy to the extent there really is one. As you know, Sam Bradford, when he heard that the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz, was ready to walk, asked for a trade. It was denied. And now we're seeing all kinds of everybody making nice out of the Eagles' first mandatory workouts. Training camps open July 21st. That's not long from now. It's 2 months, and so we'll keep you posted. Meanwhile, let's talk about the weather. It's a gorgeous day out there. It's 77 degrees, hot, sunny, the kind of days I like, and the kinds of days that everybody ought to be real happy with. But the weekend, well, that's another story. Right now, we've got tonight increasing clouds with a low of around 50 degrees. Southwest winds starting at 6 knots, coming calm after midnight. Well, we'll see about that. And then after 9 o'clock, rain mostly, and high around 62. A calm wind becoming east around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain is 80%. New rain between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Saturday night, rain mostly before 9 a.m., and then a low around 47, no more freezing, I hope. East wind around 6 miles an hour coming north after midnight. Chance of precipitation is, again, 80%. New rain amounts, again, between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Sunday, a chance of rain before 9, and then a chance of showers after 9. What do they mean by that? A chance of rain before 9 and a chance of showers after 9? Mostly cloudy, with a high of 68 degrees. North wind around 6 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation 40%. And then new rain about a tenth of an inch possible. Sunday night, chance of showers before 9. Mostly cloudy with a low of 51. A light north wind. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. And Monday, chance of showers. And Monday night, a chance of showers. So our weekend's going to be a wet, soggy one, but still get up off that couch and find something to do, even if it's indoors. Nothing like a hike in the rain if you want to be outdoors. I spent yesterday a glorious day working on my boat. The sun was shining. The air was clear and clean. Even got to see a couple of ospreys flying around fishing, and in the swamps around Ocean Gate, the egrets and the cormorants are hunting for new frogs. So it's spring is definitely here, and here with a vengeance. We're just roaring into the end of May, aren't we? Memorial Day weekend's coming up, and the long-term forecast has not yet been announced, but we're hoping for a bright, sunny Memorial Day weekend. Unfortunately, I have a medical procedure on Friday, but Saturday and Sunday I'm going to be back in fighting trim and hopefully hanging out, getting stuff done on the boat, stuff done around my house, and hopefully starting to enjoy the summer weather that's finally getting here, except for this rain. So Memorial Day weekend, the long-term forecast looks like it's going to be pretty good. Remember, if you visit the shore, be very careful about surf and rip currents and things like that. Remember, if you're caught in a rip current and it starts taking you away from the beach, just swim parallel to the beach, and the next wave is going to take you in and dump you right back on the beach. So don't never panic in the water. That's the number one rule. Meanwhile, we're still awaiting the arrival of John Manfreda so that we can really get this show underway and let the wild times begin. I want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite hobbies, which, of course, is sailing. Interested in telling you about bareboat chartering and how to do that. We've talked a little bit about it here and there, and while I've got the mic all to myself, I thought I'd talk about it some more. What is bareboat chartering? It's not chartering a boat without your clothes, that's for sure. But the idea is that you can rent the boat for any of a number of charter companies just about anywhere in the world for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever works, and go sailing. Put those sails up or start the engine and head out. And have an adventure or two. One of the best companies for this, the one that is my favorite, is the Moorings, and they're the gold standard of boat sailboat chartering and also now powerboat chartering, including catamarans. The Moorings are in Florida, and they have a great website. I've chartered with the Moorings in Greece, and I've got to visit many of the Greek islands, which are beautiful, if not a little hot and a little dry in the summer. Had some interesting adventures. I've been all through St. Vincent and all the way down the Grenadines to Grenada and back. And I'll tell you a story about that in a little while. And also around the British Virgin Islands, which are truly beautiful and where there's the easiest eyeball navigating and sailing. In each of these occasions, we joined what is called a flotilla. It's basically a group of boats. There's a leader supplied by the Moorings company, and they also have a chase boat in case something breaks or you run out of something. They'll go get it for you because they want you to have a good vacation. How does it work? Well, the first thing is you go online to one of the websites for a charter company. You tell them a little bit about yourself. Now, if you've never sailed before, you're a little insecure about it, they will provide you with a captain, somebody who knows what they're doing and who will also, if you prefer, cook your meals so that you have a complete no-effort vacation. They will teach you how to sail. They will teach you all the ins and outs of the boat and how to read the water and the tides and current and take you to the best spots, including some of the best restaurants I've ever swum up to. The nice thing about sailing in the Caribbean is the water is always warm. There's not a lot of rain this time of year. It gets to be hurricane season after July, so this is the best time to go. There are interesting things to see, a lot of history, and you meet an awful lot of characters. We had a sailing trip in 1990 from Blue Lagoon in St. Vincent all the way down to Grenada. And one of the coolest places I ever got to see was an island called Bequi, which is about 10 miles south of St. Vincent across the Bequi Channel. Now, the Bequi Channel is got a lot of current. When they get what are called the trade winds, the winds that pushed all those old square riggers from England and France to the Caribbean and to our shores here in the Northeast, we ended up with trade winds. And the trade winds always blow about 10, 15 miles an hour or 10, 15, 20 knots. What's a knot? A knot is 1.1 nautical miles an hour, which is a little bit longer than a mile by about a couple of hundred feet. I always forget that. That's why I keep a book with me. Additionally, you've got an interesting set of facts. Bequi was settled by the British. There was a cotton plantation for a while, but they also did whaling there starting in the 1750s. Bequi is one of these lush, beautiful green tropical islands where just about everything grows and does. The people are friendly. Their restaurants are good. They're known for a number of their very, very potent rum drinks. Additionally, they're world-renowned for building model sailboats. They have a number of craftsmen on the island, and all they do are support their families as they build these boats. Additionally, Bequi has a very decent cottage tourist industry. The hospitality on Bequi is wonderful. They've just started a small airport about 5 years ago with the St. Vincent government, and there's a unique set of unique real estate development there called the Moonstone. The Moonstone is a series of houses on the western end of Bequi, right on the tip. And the houses have no electricity, no windows, and although the rain doesn't get in, they're oriented so that the rainwater is caught up on top of the house, and if you want to take a shower, it's simply run down through a pipe, the sun heats it, and it's hot water. I've actually stayed in one, and it's a little bit like staying in a very, very cozy, comfortable cave. So now I know what a bear lives in when they hibernate. The place that we stayed in was beautifully furnished. It had hot and cold running water. It had a generator so that we could cook on a stove, listen to the radio, or watch TV, which was kind of crazy. Who wants to watch TV when you can look out the window and see beautiful, beautiful sunshine, or watch the all the animal activity that goes on at night, which is interesting, especially the air show that a lot of the night birds that fish at night and the bats put on. It's you're living next to nature. It is a lush, tropical, beautiful place. Meanwhile, the Bequi Channel can have some short, choppy, rough seas, but you know, that just comes with the territory. You make your sails a little smaller by rolling them up or pulling them down a little bit and tying them off, and the boat doesn't heel as much, and off you go, and you're nice and safe. The really cool thing about Bequi also is that there's excellent diving on some of the coral reefs just outside of town and along something called Princess Margaret Beach. Bequi's a great place to visit, and I encourage anybody who can to check it out, because it's the Caribbean the way it hasn't been spoiled yet with a lot of fancy resorts. Now, if you like fancy resorts, great. That's your thing. I'm all happy. But, you know, let's go and talk a little bit more about that after we hit the money button here. Hang on, folks. We got to do a commercial.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, we've got another commercial for you, folks, so let's hit that money button as well.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, and for those of you who are interested in losing weight, NJ Diet, NJ Thin sounds like a great way to go. I know I could certainly afford to lose a few pounds, but let's continue on with our commercial break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Patton Heidi & Associates, good advice from good people who care about you. Well, back to Beckley. If you ever look on the map, you'll see St. Vincent is a big island, and then there's a bunch of little ones. And as I told you before, Beckley's the first little one. It's only about 7 square miles. There's a bunch of mountains at the north that kind of keep the really rough weather out. And the center of Beckley and the other side, where there's like a have some beautiful beaches on the Atlantic side, but the calmer beaches are on the Caribbean side, especially Princess Margaret Bay that goes into the little town that is at the head of Princess Margaret Bay. And the town itself is called Beckley. There's a wonderful place to eat there called Spring on Beckley, where they have something really neat. They have Indian food, but they also have Indonesian food, which was brought to the Caribbean by the Dutch, who colonized both the Dutch West Indies and Indonesia. And one of the most interesting things I've ever eaten is something called rice table, which is a big bowl of white rice and about 20 or 30 hot hors d'oeuvres, just the right size for two people to have a couple of bites of each. And in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, they cook a lot of things that are sautéed in coconut milk, some different spices, lemongrasses, and the food is always wonderful. And you're eating something, and then it's really good, and then you realize it's goat, or it's octopus, or it's something that you ordinarily wouldn't eat, and you know it's all good. They also have some unique vegetables, breadfruit, which tastes amazingly like potato, soursop, which is a fruit with almost like a prickly pear, what we call squash, they call pumpkin, and they make it lots and lots of different ways, some spicy, some not so spicy. Spring on Beckley, a wonderful restaurant to eat in. Additionally, the boats, if you don't sail there, you can take a boat directly from St. Vincent's, Kingstown, or Charlottetown, or Blue Lagoon, or Caliaqua Bay, all the way to Beckley. They now have a hydrofoil, I understand, but back when I was there in 90, they only had it looked a little bit like a landing craft that was left over from World War II, except with an awning over it. And it pulled up, and you climbed up a ladder, and you got on a stone pier that was built in the 1880s, and you basically showed your ID or your passport, and you were on Beckley. Beckley also has some interesting horse trails, which you can also run on. They warn you to take a lot of water and to wear a hat because the sun is very strong in the Caribbean, and I think the Caribbean is why we have 50 SFF sunblocks. It's absolutely necessary. And remember, if you go down there and you sunbathe, there are parts of the body that don't really need to be treated to a lot of sunburn. So careful with that, folks, and be sure you apply a lot of sunscreen. Meanwhile, back to Beckley. One of the really cool things about Beckley is the local crafts. They will make you a very nice Panama hat out of what's called sawgrass or some of the other local grasses, palm leaves, things like that. I actually have one. I don't know exactly where my wife hid it, but pretty neat. And the other thing is that on Beckley, if you really want to make a fashion statement, you go into a store and you talk to one of the local ladies who are tailors, and in a couple of hours they'll make you up a shirt jacket called a guayabera. And typically they make these out of old flour sacks that they sew together. They fit them to you, and in about 2 or 3 hours you come back, pay them the 20 or 50 bucks. And it's really neat because it's got a couple of pockets, some nice-looking buttons, but it also says what kind of flour company the jacket came from. So it's a pretty cool thing to have. I have one that talks about gold medal flour. And I don't really know what gold medal flour is, but it seems to me that there's an awful lot of it in St. Vincent because that's what they use to make jackets out of. They also have a very interesting industry. They grow something called arrowroot. Arrowroot is grown all over St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and it's used for processing paper to make sheets of paper smooth and to dry it as it comes out of the manufacturing process. Moving on from Beckley, the next island is an island called Mustique. Now, Mustique is French for mosquito, and the reason is because there are a lot of mosquitoes there. Mustique used to be a private island owned by a single British guy, but around the turn of the last century, he lost it because of gambling debts around 1900. So some other folks bought it, and they've tried a number of things there, sugarcane plantations, a little bit of tourism. But just as Beckwith's a pretty well-traveled place, Mustique is a little bit more isolated, but there's plenty of good drinking water on the island. There are a number of springs, one or two small hotels, but both Princess Margaret, who was Queen Elizabeth's late sister, and Mick Jagger both had large estates there. I think Mick Jagger still has his estate there. And you can get on the island, but no cars. You've got to either use a motorcycle, a bicycle, or pay someone to drive you around. A couple of good hotels on Mustique, and a very decent anchorage if you can get a mooring ball. Otherwise, it's going to be rolly, so keep that anchor dugged in. From Mustique, we can sail on to the Tobago Keys, one of the most interesting places I've ever been for natural life. St. Vincent has turned the Tobago Keys into a watery national park, and these are four small islands, all within about 300 yards of each other, and on the outside, facing east, is what's called Horseshoe Reef, and then outside of that is End of the World Reef. And there's nothing between St. Vincent and the coast of West Africa except a lot of water. Well, it's an interesting place. You can snorkel. You can snorkel on the reefs. You can dive on the reefs if you like. The water isn't really more than about 20 feet deep anywhere. I can tell you that you have to be a little careful with the marine life because it is literally filled with beautiful fish. You're swimming through clouds of fish. And remember, your body temperature is a lot hotter than that of a fish. So you can actually burn them or damage the slimy, mucousy layer that protects their skin from diseases. And generally, if you're going to touch a fish, it's a mistake because that fish is not going to be alive for too long because it may pick up an infection from human skin. I had an interesting experience on the Tobago Keys. We were anchored in about 25 feet of water just behind one of the beautiful islands. So we had a picnic lunch on the island and fished and snorkeled all day, fished without any luck. Swam and had a couple of rums, and you know, before sunset, it's always been my habit to check an anchor because I don't want the anchor to drag at night. So I put on my swim mask, my flippers, and climbed over the stern of the boat and swam to the front, and down I went, and I pulled myself down the anchor road, the line, and check the anchor to be sure it's flukes. The pointy ends of the anchor were dug into the sandy bottom real well, which of course it was. Well, for some reason, I looked up, and there, staring me in the face, was a shark. And it wasn't Jaws, but it sure looked like it when you're about 8 inches away staring a shark in the mouth. It's a daunting experience, to say the least. Well, I didn't really know what to do, so I just turned and swam away, and I came up out of the water about as fast as I could, hauling myself up the anchor line. And my wife, who had watched this, and remember, the water is clear down to about 40 feet, took one look at me and said, "You scared the fish." And I said, "It was a shark." And she said, "You scared the fish. It wasn't bothering you." And I said, "Well, you didn't look it in the eye, and it had a lot of teeth, and it had the two coldest eyes I've ever seen since the last time I saw Mike Tyson on TV." And she said, "You scared the fish away. It won't come back." And I said, "Good. If we ever have to pull up the anchor, that'll be what I do." Well, it's 5:30, and it's time for yet a news break. So let's go see what's going on in the rest of the world, folks. Thanks.
U.S. USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
On behalf of the thousands of patriots in this room and the 5 million NRA members across this country, I'm officially announcing the NRA's endorsement of Donald Trump for president.
The National Rifle Association endorsing Donald Trump. Executive Director Chris Cox making the announcement at the association's convention in Louisville, warning Hillary Clinton against abolishing the Second Amendment.
Get ready, Hillary. Pack a lunch and give it a try. We've been here for 145 years. You know where to find us, and we're not going anywhere.
In his speech to attendees, Trump says gun legislation is a critical issue related to the U.S. Supreme Court vacancy, and he expects the next president will be able to appoint at least three justices. Trump says he fully expects Clinton will try to abolish the Second Amendment if she becomes president, leaving Americans in high crime neighborhoods vulnerable. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Aaron, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on why Americans should study the presidency.
People should study the American presidency because it's one of the three branches of government, and it's the part that acts. And so when the government gets ready to do something to us or to our allies or enemies in the world, it's the executive branch that does it. And there's some reason to fear it these days. It's an awesome power. But in addition, there's a series of constraints on it. One of them is there's an amount of time he's got, and then he's got to go back to the people. Another is he has to do things that are lawful, and he doesn't get to make the laws. And so a constitutional executive is a very powerful thing, operating under the constraints and for the purposes of the Constitution of the United States.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
It's time for Hunter Chamber.
Well, and now let's talk about the weather. Everybody talks about the weather because you can't do much about it, right? Well, we've got a beautiful day today. It's been 75 right now outside of the here in beautiful downtown Flemington. Tonight we're going to see increasing clouds with a low of around 50. South winds at around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm later after midnight. Saturday, rain, and more rain. Now, rain mainly after 9 a.m., high near 62 degrees, calm wind becoming east around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon, and a chance of rain is 80%. New precipitation between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Well, that'll fill up Spruce Run, won't it? Saturday night, rain mainly after 9, low around 47, east wind around 6 miles an hour becoming north after midnight. Chance of precipitation is 80%. A new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Well, there you go again, Spruce Run. A chance of rain before 9 a.m., and then this is my favorite forecast. A chance of showers again after 9 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 68 degrees. North wind around 6 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 40%. New rain amounts of less than a tenth of an inch if possible. Sunday night, again, a chance of showers, mainly before 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low of around 51, light north wind. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation of less than a tenth of an inch possible. And then Monday, guess what, folks? More rain. Chance of showers, mainly after 9 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Chance of precipitation is 30% with a new precipitation amount of less than 10% of an inch as possible. Monday night, hey, more rain, folks. Getting soggy yet? A chance of showers before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low of 52, and a chance of precipitation is 30%. Monday's going to be nice, so get ready to work. Monday rain, rather. Tuesday, good, partly sunny. Wednesday, mostly sunny. I don't know the difference. Partly cloudy Wednesday night. Thursday, hey, more rain. Lucky us. And Friday, they haven't told us about yet, but I don't care. I'm not going to be here next Friday. It's Memorial Day weekend. And we've just had an unexplained John Manfreda sighting. Good afternoon, John.
Good
How
afternoon,
are you?
Bill. It's wonderful to see you. You're looking great. Yep. You look like a guy who was working on his boat yesterday.
I absolutely absolutely was. It's polished. It's shined. It's all it needs now is a little bottom paint, and it's ready to go in the water.
Well, there you go.
I was telling everybody about St. Vincent and the Grenadines, what a great time I had sailing around there with my wife and my cousin and his wife back in the 90s. And, you know, you can have a hell of a lot of fun in the islands, John. It's just an amazing thing. But
Bill, when they wrote that song, Margaritaville, they had you in mind, you know?
Actually, they did not. I think it's more like a sailor looks at 40. But
could be.
I haven't done any smuggling. That's one of my favorite songs. But, you know, John, we went to a place called Union Island in the Grenadines, and this is a very...
A lot of people may not know where the Grenadines are. Can you be a little more specific?
Just south of St. Vincent, which is about 100 miles west of Barbados. A beautiful place.
Now, are the currents strong there, Bill?
They can be. They can be, depending on the time of year. But the trade winds are always strong.
Ah.
The trade winds, because they always blow. But let me tell you my Union Island story. Union Island is a place right out of Terry and the Pirates. Remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
I loved that comic strip as a kid. They had all sorts of cool stuff in there, from pirates to guys shooting each other to...
And now the truth comes out. Bill's a swashbuckler at heart.
I wish I were. That's why I've been practicing law for 40 years in a small town.
Very true.
Okay. Drudgery and a little bit more like the Dickens novel Bleak House, I suspect. But we went into Union Island, and Union Island has the Anchor Reef Yacht Club. And it has the Anchor Reef Yacht Club is a building where you can eat. It's a big, long pier for about 50 sailboats or other types of boats, the ferry that goes from island to island, and an airport. Well, the airport is an airstrip, and there's a sign on the airstrip that when a plane's going to land and an alarm bell goes off and a red light flashes, any cattle on the runway are going to get shot. And there's a guy with a rifle.
There's proverbial dead meat, huh?
Yep, dead meat. There's a guy with a rifle who's going to do that. Now, I always figured if you
But if they shoot him, they drop. How's that help the plane?
It sure doesn't. I haven't figured that out. That's why I said
What they need is my daughter's dog, Tenacious, to go and bark them off the runway.
That's the idea. I pointed that out to a cop, and he said, one of the island cops, and he said, it's really there to make sure people keep their cattle off the runway. Well, if you shot somebody's cow on the runway, the plane would run over it and flip over. And the guy said, "You have a point. That hasn't happened since I've been here." But you know how they get rid of their trash and their garbage?
I'm afraid to ask, Bill.
Well, I'm glad you did anyway. On Union Island, they have what looks like a swimming pool, except it's right along the waterfront. And it's not a swimming pool. It's a shark impoundment. And in there...
Interesting nomenclature, swimming pool, to the uninitiated, such as we who are listening here today. A shark tank. Go on.
Don't jump in. So I asked the...
Yet there's a sign swimming pool.
No, it says caution sharks. And this is where they...
Does that satisfy the duty to warn? Oh, it's not New Jersey. That's right.
Not New Jersey. I don't know about the St. Vincent legal system. But when they have extra trash or garbage out of a couple of restaurants, or you've got some household garbage because you've been peeling potatoes, they all throw it in there. And I asked the dockmaster, who was an elderly gentleman, he claimed to be about 90, and I wasn't really sure whether he was that old or not. He was very proud of the fact that he only put a shirt on Sunday to go to church. And I said, I see all those sharks swimming around in there, and, you know, right by the restaurant. What's that for? And he said, "That's if you don't pay, man."
Aha.
I always admire
you might accidentally
like that.
Get pushed into the shark tank.
That's right. So, John, what's going on in your universe?
Well, right now it's been a collapsing universe recently, but on the sports front there's a lot going on. It's exciting with baseball in full swing, and I managed to watch a couple of innings of the Mets Nationals last night, and I was fortunate enough to watch, I think, the second or third inning when the Nationals scored 7 runs, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, and watching Mr. Harvey get knocked around. And I feel bad for the guy, although he's tough to feel bad for with his attitude and ego. But, Bill, this is a guy I think has to go back to the minor leagues and figure out his pitches.
Well, they say he's got some problems with his mechanics, but I'll tell you, I didn't watch the game, but I watched the highlights, or if you're a Mets fan,
his defense didn't support him all that well. There were at least 2 balls that were called hits that could have been errors. There were at least three bad plays in the inning that probably contributed to 4 of those 7 runs.
Have you noticed that when he throws that curve, that was his second go-to pitch after the fastball? It just sort of hangs there and smiles.
Well, that's it. The break isn't – it's breaking too late, and they can swing before it fully breaks.
That's right. And they're managing to catch it on the fat part of the bat.
Yeah.
And you notice he's sort of a ground ball pitcher. Well, now he's a line drive pitcher.
Now everything's a line drive. Yeah, that means the ball's not dropping.
And as the Mets slowly sink into the National League East, the Phillies have managed to creep ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, how awful is that to look up after 40 games and find that you're looking up at the Philadelphia Phillies? That's amazing.
Well, just like being the second sled dog, it's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, for sure.
In this case, they're the third sled dog because Washington's still ahead of them. The Phillies had a good series against Washington.
They did. Yeah. What's interesting is you got a couple of former Phillies on that Nationals team. Jason Worth.
Yep.
And who's the other guy? Jason Worth and they both played last night. I can't remember right now, but they're both productive players. They're having decent years. But the main thing for Washington, they would have won it last year, but for all the injuries, just crippled them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The team that I think is exciting to watch now are the Orioles in the American League East. The Yankees are a game out of last place, out of escaping the cellar. They've begun to play better ball. Joe Girardi has said that all I have to do is get to my relief pitching. I've got 3 great ones. And hopefully things will turn around.
Problem is, by the time you get to the 6th, 7th inning, sometimes the game's out of hand.
That's true. The Yankees have lost a couple of one-run games. The other thing is the Yankee bats are just beginning to wake up. But, you know, this is the year we see the Yankees finally realize that they've got to dump the big contract.
Yeah, it's pretty much the end of that era.
Exactly. They hung around with a lot of these guys since 2009 when they won it all against the Phillies, and now it's time for change. But your Red Sox are looking up at the Orioles also.
Well, they're basically tied, I think, the percentage points apart, but with Boston, the pitching has faltered a bit lately. They've won some high-scoring games like 10-8 and 14-7, almost football scoring. But their offense is very dynamic. They got the killer bees, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, and Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, these kids are all hitting in the 300 range. I think Bogaerts and Betts are at 340, 339, 340 with power.
Well, you
know, and Ortiz has been unreal.
Well, this is Ortiz's last year, and he's getting his victory lap, isn't he?
Well, a lot of people are now looking at this saying he looks revitalized. I mean, he was okay the last couple of years, but he had some nagging injuries. He's very healthy right now, got that big swing back. And, you know, who knows, it's a long season. There's no doubt if by some chance they win again, he's gone. But if they come close, he may come back. You never know. He may come back. He's starting to get that look like, you know, I'm having too much fun at this game, and you just never say never.
Well, are the Red Sox going to hold up when it gets to be July and August? How's their relief pitching doing?
The relief pitching is excellent. Yeah, the relief pitching is excellent, and it's really the starting rotation. Price is just rounding into form. He had a great outing the other night. He's 6-1. Porcello, unfortunately, lost 2 nights ago. And didn't look bad, but he gave up a couple of homers, and they wound up losing 4-2. Porcello, I think, is 6-2. He's been a very good pitcher. As I say, Price is running around. Buchholz is the guy that, you know, every year he looks like this guy's going to be Cy Young material, but he gets hurt. He's very fragile, and he's untradeable. Big contract. He has a shaky history. You know, he's got a no-hitter to his credit, a couple of championships. But he's a guy. He's very unreliable, Bill. They're looking at some young starters right now who actually show some promise. I mean, they have enough depth. If the Red Sox are in it, and I think they will be in June, there's no question they'll acquire another starter at the trading deadline. Now, you add one more good starter to that rotation, and they'll be relevant right into October. No question. That's all they need is one more starter.
Are they a wild card team? Or
now, I think it depends.
First?
I think Baltimore. Baltimore's done this a lot in recent years. They're in first place until early June. I don't know that their pitching has the staying power, and they've lost some offense. Quite frankly, I thought the Orioles were a third place team this year. I thought it was going to be Boston, Toronto fighting it out. But Toronto, of course, lost David Price, and the Red Sox picked him up. But beyond that, Toronto just has gotten off to a really poor start.
Well, that's true. The Blue Jays have not played well. They have had icy cold bats even for the last couple of nights. Plus, their pitching, they've gotten clubbed all over the place. The Yankees actually did get well on them, winning 2 out of 3 up there a couple of weeks ago. I have to go to some commercials, John, but folks, we'll be right back to talk more sports with the sports guys.
Home Instead Senior Care.
It's
our passionate dedication to
it's a good
personal
way
relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, we're back talking baseball. And, John, have you followed any of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, well, the games have been late because of the Western Conference stuff, but Pittsburgh seems to have, you know, being healthy and in position to do well. They've got to be a strong favorite to win. You know, in the West, you have San Jose. I mean, these are teams, Bill, with good young players.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I think really helped Pittsburgh acquiring Phil Kessel.
Sure.
You put him on a line. He makes everybody better. He spent 6 years suffering in Toronto, where he was their go-to number one star. And the Leafs are really in a rebuilding year. The Leafs got a lot of draft.
The Leafs have been in a rebuilding season since 1967.
That's exactly right. The Dave Keon, Frank Mahovlich era, when I was a mere sprat. I will tell you that the Leafs are probably, between Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock, going to turn into a decent team.
Yeah, they give them 2 years, they'll be competitive.
Oh, absolutely. I think they'll be a good
hockey
team.
Money's not an issue.
Oh, you know.
Wealthiest franchise in sports.
Oh, it is. It's the most valuable. You know who owns 90% of the Leafs? The Ontario Teachers Pension Fund.
Yes. That's why. How about that?
That's why. If you ever go to a Maple Leafs game, spend a lot of money on trinkets. Keep those teachers happy.
I was going to say, a little different than the New Jersey Teachers Pension System.
Remember, without those teachers, you wouldn't be reading and you wouldn't have the job you have today. You have to get a good job, get a good education. My two parents were teachers, and my wife spent many years teaching.
And my wife's a teacher as well.
Your wife's a teacher, too. So yeah. Let's hear it for the teachers, folks. Hip, hip, hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray. Just don't raise my taxes to pay the pension deficit, right? That's the battle cry in New Jersey.
There you go, John. Meanwhile, what are you hearing out of the New York Giants? They had their first mandatory workouts.
You know, it's good stuff. We're not hearing anything. Real quiet. It's as if Tom Coughlin's still there, very unceremoniously putting this team together, rebuilding the defense, got some impact players in the draft. You know, there's no hype, unlike some other teams we hear and know about. They're very quiet, Bill. And the Jets have been very quiet as well. And this whole thing with
Ryan Fitzpatrick, they don't seem to want to sign him.
I can't figure this out. Well, it's over money.
Playing chicken with him?
Yeah, I mean, how can you do that? You know?
You know, they don't have anybody really that good to play right behind him. And
it's only really a one-year deal. Give the guy a decent amount and get him in there.
Yeah, or give him a two-year deal and bring somebody else along.
Right,
because remember,
let him play this coming year, draft somebody, and then maybe you're looking at 2 years. I think they did draft a quarterback, but it was in a later round.
They did, but it was like in the seventh or eighth round.
Yeah, which means that's a guy that's a 3 or 4 year project.
That's exactly right.
If at all.
And remember, Fitzpatrick's been around the block. He's 32, 33. He's got a couple of good years left in his arm.
Well, he had a great year last year.
And the fans like him.
And the fans like him. Of course, everybody loves a winner, and he did play well. They didn't miss the playoffs, Bill, because of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, they did. Right. In the last game, he threw 3 interceptions against the Bills, and 2 of them, I mean, if you know, a 2-year-old could have caught that ball.
Yeah, he had a bad game there, but basically what it came down to is they couldn't run the ball against the Bills.
Which is strange because the Jets just beefed up their offensive line a whole lot. Bilal Powell finally got some help at running back, and you're going to see more and more that the Jets are an improved team, particularly defensively.
Defensively, I think they're very solid. Yeah. They were perhaps a top. Well, certainly top 10, maybe even a top 5 defense last year.
Oh, no doubt about that. The Jets played really well.
They lost a couple of games they should have won.
That's true. They really should have been a playoff.
They finished 9-7, and had they just finished the deal on a couple of games, they could have been 12-4.
That's right.
Certainly 11-5 and make the playoffs.
That's right. And
the 2 games they lost to Buffalo were inexcusable.
Oh,
boy,
Rex Ryan's
smile has not fallen off.
That's true. You know, if you saw the smirk on his face for each of those games.
Particularly the last game when he knocked him out of the playoffs.
That's right. As the seconds were counting down, the camera shot to Rex, big grin, and then he hit it because he realized the cameras weren't on him. We're on him, and he didn't look too good. So, John, what are your plans for this rainy day weekend?
Well, Bill, we're optimistic going to the shore tomorrow. Going to be in Atlantic City tomorrow night with my daughter Elizabeth and her husband Ryan and my wife, and we're hoping to have a nice seafood dinner and then play some. And I usually have good luck on rainy days, though.
Well, that's good to hear.
May have good luck tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to be slaving away in the office tomorrow, hitting the gym early, trying to see if the weather breaks just a little bit Sunday so that I can get a few more things done around the yard. And if you're going to watch one sporting event this weekend, John, what would it be?
One sporting event. Well, probably one of the Red Sox games, but aside from that, going to try to take in a Stanley Cup game.
Pens at Tampa tonight because Ben Bishop is not supposed to play.
Right. Yeah. Now that could really hurt Tampa. It's too bad.
This is Pittsburgh's opportunity. Yes. Go up 2-2, steal a game down in Florida and hope for the best.
I think they have to win this game.
Oh yeah, this is their must-win game because otherwise to go back to Pittsburgh down 3-1, all it means is you're.
Then you're gonna win three in a row.
Yeah. You don't want to get beat at home, especially Energy Console Center, a nice rink, good seating, a place, John, that's on my bucket list to visit, hopefully next winter.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
Well, we got to pay a visit to your brother and go to a game.
In Tampa, we should do that, too. And I was even thinking, this summer might be a good road trip up to Fenway with you sometime.
Absolutely. I'm going to be in Fenway 2 weeks from tomorrow. As the Red Sox will take on the Toronto Blue Jays for a 4 o'clock national TV game with my daughter Allison and have a chance to meet the family of her wonderful boyfriend Garrett. And it'll be a real Red – they're Connecticut folks, but they're big Red Sox fans. So it'll be a big Red Sox weekend. And, of course, I will hopefully be able to see the ball.
Well, that's a good thing, John. As you know, John is having surgery 10 days from now. And he should be able to hit a tennis ball again.
Hopefully those tennis balls won't go whizzing past me. The great Paul Phillips says I'll be fine and putting myself in his hands. And so I commend myself to his great expertise and say a few prayers, and hopefully I'll come up being able to see something again.
Well, that's real good, John. Let's go to a commercial, and hopefully this might just be for a doctor.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Meanwhile, folks, we're back. It's 5:57 on a Friday afternoon. The weather's nice. Get outside and
beautiful,
enjoy it before it starts to rain tomorrow, folks, because it's going to be pretty crummy. It's going to be a drizzly weekend. It's going to be the kind of weekend that you love if you're a duck or a goose, but not me. I'm just another lawyer going to be slaving away Saturday, looking at all kinds of cool stuff. I've got in the matter of Taylor already to be read. I'm going to find out why the Third Circuit Court of Appeals gets mad at banks and their lawyers who don't bother to pay attention to certifications of amounts due, and all kinds of other cool stuff. I mean, I have to tell you, after 40
Bill,
years...
Bill, that's riveting.
I love what I do.
I want you to get up off that couch.
I'd like to do that. I was all over my boat, I have to tell you, Thursday. It was great, it's really Thursday.
You had a nice day.
It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. It didn't get above 65. My buddy and I were out there. John, I think you called us while we were on our way back.
Yes, I did.
Just about
checking up on you, Bill. And
now you knew where I was. You caught me goofing off for a change.
There you go. I was envious, Bill.
Grindstone.
It was a smart decision, as usual, for you. And then you can make up the time tomorrow. But I'm really glad you had a good day out. Can't wait to get out in the water with you this summer. And hopefully starting maybe even in 2 weeks.
Well, that's true. Splash day for us is going to be the 31st of May, right? The Tuesday right after.
I know that day well, Bill, because that's the day I have the surgery in my right eye. So that's the day.
And you should be well enough to start coming out with us.
Absolutely.
The week after. We'll have the sales on. We're going to do a shakedown. And I have all kinds of cool stuff that I'm looking forward to doing. First of all, together with the yacht club that I'm in, Cedarmar, we are joining with Tall Oaks. So we're going to have a racing season. I'm going to learn how to race a boat and actually do it for real. I once won a prize for being dead-ass last, and it's the back end of a donkey as a trophy, and I'm very proud of it because...
Because you participated.
I participated, I finished, and, you know, we stopped for ice cream in the middle of the race because we couldn't get through a cut in between Tortola and some little island that was just off it, and a little 200-yard-wide gap. The current was just too strong. We just couldn't get through it under sail. So we pulled in and got ice cream and turned on the engine and cheated a little bit, and we came in last. We had agreed previously among ourselves, my trustworthy crew and I, that what we knew we weren't going to win, so we figured there'd be a prize if we lost. We made damn sure we lost. Well, folks, it's been a great week. I'm going to hit the rewind. John and I are going to wish you a great afternoon to get up off that couch.
Thank you, Bill. Good weekend, productive weekend, and hopefully we get some sun.
Priebus is also warning against an attempted third-party run for the White House. There had been